Go to thecognitiverampage.com. Keep fueling the change. Help continue to allow this to happen. None of this would happen without you and your love and your support. Love you.
The Cognitive Rampage, a scientific approach to self-discovery, change, and life optimization, is now available on Amazon. What I do in the book is I fuse the latest research from the cognitive, behavioral, social, environmental, and biological sciences. It's not just motivational fluff and wordplay. Now, I do talk about my own story, so there's some kind of inspiration in there, but I'm not just spinning words and hyping you up with motivational fluff. Whether you need a life change, simply enjoy self-exploration and optimization, want to discover new hidden passions, or reduce the life-altering effects of toil, anxiety, depression, all of those issues, this book is for you. This book is not a cookie-cutter method of steps to follow. You'll customize the scientific framework with your own personal beliefs to build your authentic change. That way you assimilate it faster. It's not just copying my beliefs and telling you step one, step two. These will come from your beliefs as how you extend and build the foundation upon this framework. You'll use this framework throughout your whole life, through every change, and through every age. These are not empty words of motivational spin. This book is an experience. The Cognitive Rampage is based in science and is built from your beliefs. It's a path to help you unleash your desired change. You can apply this method on your own with no harmful side effects. Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your Cognitive Rampage today. It's a rainy day down here in Florida right now. We're hanging out. Hope you're tuning in, giving a couple people some time to chime in, making sure everything goes and works. You know how we do. I wish I could double check, but it seems like we are working. Yeah, we are good. I can't turn it off now. That's all. That's always what happens, right? But I'm definitely, if you're listening to this podcast, maybe you looked at the title of this podcast and said, wait, what? Stop communicating in your relationship. Yeah. That's what I mean. You know, usually I hang out a little bit in the beginning and talk and go long-winded here. What I'm trying to do is also pull up the page. So if you're watching live and tuning in, feel free to comment. I have the post pulled up here on the live stream, so I'll be able to comment with you or maybe respond to you if you have any questions at the end of this. Maybe if you want to talk about something you're going through or have any kind of questions for myself, maybe I can direct you in the right way. Not that I'm some preacher in the pulpit, you know, telling you how you need to do this thing, right? I don't want to do that. If anything, I'm just trying to drop some hints to you, if anything. Give you something to think about in some fashion. And there we go. Now we got it pulled up. Sometimes the laptop when I'm on here doesn't pull up current comments as it's happening. So, I pulled up the phone so I could do the same thing. So I could check it out here. And let's see. Yeah, I like the silence there for a minute, right? Make you think the podcast went away when I'm just talking, right? Yeah, I'm trying to share this actually to the personal page here, but I think some people are going to tune in directly from my page anyway. Here's what we do. Let's see, we got a little copy of the link here. It's wild when you're running the podcast, producing the podcast. Can't even put the music in exactly. I like to try to lead in with some music at the same time. But I got to share it on the personal page as well so you can tune in. And yeah, there we go. So you can tune in right there. I'll put the link even up on the post where people are chiming in so you can tune in and listen to it. And well, let's get this thing riding, right? What do you hear about, right? Again, you know, I like to do videos. I call them my mental dose. I call them the mental dose now or a mental dose. Forgive me. On my personal page, I do those videos live on my personal page, which is a private page as well, because I, well, like to know who I'm talking to, and then I generally pull those off and put them on the podcast, etc. And I know a lot of you that I share those videos with, and I tend to talk about what a lot of the, I guess the popular, the mainstream, if you will. I don't know if you can consider. Yeah, you can. You can have social media mainstream. But I talk a lot about what the mainstream speakers or communicators, I think the new word is influencers now. That makes me laugh. I'm serious. When I hear people claiming themselves to be influencers, that's ridiculous.
We're all influencers in our own way. We influence people in our own lives as well as ourselves and, you know, people around us. I mean, we influence sometimes and you don't even know you influenced. I mean, there's so many people that may watch from afar, see you online or something. But, you know, everybody is an influence, if you ask me. And I find that funny that my phone's ringing now with a phone call I've been trying to get a hold of for about 3 or 4 days now. And I'm live, so sorry about that. I'll call you back. But we're all influencers. Y'all influence somebody. I promise you, you do. I want you to think about, before I get this podcast going, I want you to think about a model couple. I want you to think of a couple that is an influencer to you. You see, when a lot of people are asked this question, some can produce maybe one. How many relationships do you know that are a model, that are ideal, something that you maybe even look up to or hope to have one day? Is it one? Is it two? Is it your parents? Good luck. Ask yourself that. So when most people are asked that question, they produce one, generally one couple or one relationship, one marriage. And a lot of times it's their grandparents, right, that have been together, which I would say has a lot to do with the times they come from. But think about it. And now I want to ask, how many relationships and marriages do you know? How many people do you know are in relationships or married? Right? Probably a lot more, correct? So if you think for a second with that question, well, man, I know maybe one marriage or one relationship that I, you know, look up to or that I model to, right? Or that, you know, I strive to maybe be like or respect to call and say, hey, what do I do, right? And I don't mean just when you call your mom or your dad and go, hey, you know, she or he's being a, then you go off, right? That's not what I mean. Hopefully your parents support you regardless, and or maybe hopefully they tell you when you are being an asshole, right? I mean a couple you're not related to, possibly. What's one that you would sit down with and maybe would read their book if they wrote a book, right? Or maybe even should write a book about how a relationship should be. Not very many. And again, you know so many that are married or in a relationship, right? That we don't want to be like. I don't want to be anything like my neighbor. And that's serious. We may know what we don't want to be like. But for most of us, a lot of us out there, we haven't had any models about, well, what is a good relationship, right? And look, it's subjective to define what a good relationship is to begin with, right? Because we all have our needs or what we want, what we like, what we prefer, right? So for people to say, hey, do these 5 things for the perfect relationship, right? Get out of here, right? When we start trying to label things like that, well, the same goes for the other side, right? One of those things that people tend to tell you is to what? Communicate. Communication is the most important thing in a relationship. That's what you hear, right? I mean, there was one point, I don't know, I think I did it for like 2 or 3 years. I would walk around, and if I happened to come across a couple or a marriage that had been together longer than 10 or 20 years, I'd ask the question. I would say, well, what's the secret, right? What's the secret? What do you do? Unfortunately, 9 times out of 10, I would hear, happy wife, happy life. Right? This is so what, sell your own self down the river and don't make yourself happy? I would totally disagree with that. You know, it's funny and in jest to say it, but a lot of people believe that and they live that way, right? I mean, listen to any comedian that talks about relationships, right? That's what we think, right? So most people say something like that. They say, you know, keep them happy or communication. Communication is key. But let's dive in to communication, really. What's that really mean? Let's unpack it, as the new term goes on for the younger generations, right? Communication means what? To talk? Okay. Does it say how to talk? No. So if somebody gives you the advice, well, communication is key. Well, okay, how do I communicate? Do I say what's on my mind? Do I wait for an optimal time, right? These are all these tips that you see, right? Plan a time to meet, set that time, and be ready for that time, right? Sure. Possibly it's a good hint. That's a good tip. Sure. But I'm going to say the communication, and one of the reasons I say stop communicating in a relationship is because words can build walls. Remember that. Words can build walls. See, a lot of times we, and I'll speak to the reference we, male, female, whatever, right, wrong, or the one being wronged, either way, well, we're not even done communicating in our own mind what it is we really think or what we really feel, much less what we really believe about what's happening. So a lot of times if we sit down and just start communicating, well, a lot of times these can turn into long, drawn-out conversations. They can be an hour, 2 hours, 2 days for some relationships, right? And as the more you're unpacking in your own mind, the more that you hear yourself talking what it is, a lot of times, well, what? We say something we don't mean. We say something we don't mean to. Or we may say something that, you know, well, in anger. We may just say something because we're hurt, right? I argue that anger is not even real, that we're just hurt, right? We may say something like that. And so when we talk about communication and we say, hey, communication is key, right? If we say this, you have to be able and willing to go further down that rabbit hole of, well, how do we communicate? How often do we communicate? And what is too much communication? Because what I'm saying here is oftentimes where we believe communication is necessary, touch is necessary. You can say so much more in a hug. You see, a lot of times if couples are going through things, right? What you might find is the one person that's hurt in a relationship, you know, may sit there and try to talk to you or want to communicate, and maybe you did hurt them, maybe you didn't, right? But what we tend to do if we're that person is we start to say, hey, well, I'm not that bad. We tend to start to defend ourselves, right? Or we start to, you know, talk more about our own pain rather than talking about the person we hurt and what they must be going through. And then we try to communicate how shitty we feel about ourselves over and over again. And that too, well, is about us. That would be about us. I feel shitty. I feel bad. I'm so sorry. I really only did it like this, right? This is how we start to explain. And what we're doing is avoiding the hurt that is actually what they are going through. We're not paying attention. We're not acknowledging their hurt. Maybe perhaps to say something like, I can't imagine what you're going through. I'm here. And we hug, right? And the same goes for the person that may be the one that has been hurt, right? If we try to sit down and communicate about this time or this moment or this thing this person did that hurt us, well, how kind are you in this communication, right? Because you feel validated, right? Of course I'm angry. Of course I'm upset. Well, no matter who you are, if you sit down to try to communicate with somebody that's pissed off or upset, much less has never had a model, right, for what a relationship's supposed to be. And I say that because that's the majority of us. That's why I said that beginning of the podcast. The majority of us know relationships we don't want to be like, and most of us can't point out a relationship we want to be like or model like, if not maybe just one, right? And look at those numbers, right? That's why I pointed that out, so we don't have models. So if this person then maybe has hurt you and you sit down to talk to this person because they say we need to talk about it, we need to communicate, and really it's just to hear themselves and hear yourself think or believe out loud or to purge feelings, we sit down and do something and we expect this person to communicate with us kindly? Well, no, nor can we even be mad at the person who was hurt who's communicating with anger and hurt. Right? Because they've been hurt and they're angry about being hurt, right? Anger's a coping mechanism. Anger's not real, like I say. We're just hurt and we're that scared pit bull in a corner, right? If we approach that pit bull in a corner, is it angry at us, really? Is it growling and foaming? Sure. Is it angry? No, it's scared, right? Humans take the same approach, right? We use this peacock method of anger to keep people away from our weakness or feeling weak or showing weakness that we are actually hurt. And so if we sit down and try to communicate with someone we've hurt, and this person starts to communicate how terrible of a person we are, well, or they are, or if maybe we're the other, right? We're communicating with them, you know, you're just such a bad person. I can't believe you did this. You're just spewing out all these feelings, which are valid. Don't get me wrong. And we expect the other person to communicate then properly back at this time, right? So am I saying just bury it? No. I'm not saying necessarily just bury it, but I'm telling you that touch can do way more than words. That we spend too much time on communication, and it's such a vague term that so many influencers use because it sounds good, right? Because we talk about communication. We have to communicate what, right? What is it we need to communicate, right? What does the person who's been hurt need to communicate? They've been hurt, we've acknowledged it, this is bad. Or is it just to sit down and say, hey, take your whippings, take your lashings right now because I'm hurting right now and I need you to hurt right now. And essentially a lot of this is what really happens. The person is in pain. The other person is not acknowledging that pain, not putting that pain in validity, more so thinks they're talking about the other person by calling themselves a piece of shit. But again, it's about the person who did the hurt now just saying, yeah, it is about me too. It becomes self-absorbed on both sides now. So the more we want to dive into communication, I'm telling you, the more walls you put up, that words build walls. And a lot of things we can't get back. How many relationships have you been in where what you did 6 months ago is thrown in your face? Or what maybe you forgave somebody for 6 weeks ago, you bring back up in their face, right? We throw it back and forth. We use these words. We communicate without really knowing what communication is, when some of the most affectionate, most dearful terms of communication in a relationship is through touch, right? It's through touch. Maybe you've reached out to that person you've hurt and you do try to hug them, but this is after you've, well, tried to communicate and you've done this poorly and you reach out for touch, you get rejected, right? And now the person that's been hurt is now rejecting the person that did the hurting. Now the person that did the hurting 6 hours ago, 6 weeks ago, 6 months ago, well, they then feel that hurt and then you feel satisfied they have that hurt, but they're a human being, so they react to the rejection. They can't undo what they already did other than tell you how much of a piece of shit they feel, which is not what you want to hear. You don't want to hear how bad they feel, right? Oh, I feel so bad. I feel so bad. I'm a piece of shit. Hey, at least I was good for this long, right? At least I did this. They start pointing out those things. And all we're missing, if you're that person, is you're missing validating the person that you've hurt. You're validating their present feeling of pain. And it's natural human reaction, right? To respond to that, to respond that way, to defend ourselves, to try to do the calculus, right? Do the math, to say, well, I was good for half this relationship, right? I never said this to you. At least I'm not like the neighbors, right? At least I'm not this. None of that is validating the person that has been hurt's pain. If we're the one that's been hurt, we're searching for that validation because, well, maybe we're staying in this relationship because maybe we've made a commitment. Maybe there's religious implications why we do it. Maybe there's kids involved already, right? Or maybe you've left a relationship that maybe you wanted to be in, but everybody around you told you you shouldn't be in, right? So when we start involving others in our communication, well, then that communication that we're doing between ourselves in a relationship, well, isn't our communication because we are influenced, right? Like I said in the beginning, we're all influencers. And if you're calling that person about what he or she did, you're going off on them, you're going to remember those words. And those words you receive from other people in your relationships, well, those other people will help you build those word walls. So when you hear the advice, communication is key, or communication is the number one reason, or the number one, the number one reason or tool we use of how this marriage has lasted 60 years, well, it's an easy answer. It's an easy answer because that's what you hear, that's what's communicated to us, right? Is that we need to communicate, we need to talk about it, we need to sit down and talk about what are we actually talking about, right? If we sit down to talk about something, what are we actually going to talk about? Are we going to talk about how terrible of a person they are and how they didn't deserve it and how this person said this and I couldn't believe this? Or is it to share the pain? Is that what we're doing? See, if it's about communicating, well, we can communicate if love is present with touch, with hugs, with touch, with behavior. These are ways we can do it. And a lot of times, if you've done the hurting, a behavior you can do, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. And give a hug and listen and validate. Not have to defend yourself. Not have to communicate. Because when we talk about communication, we can talk about clear and present communication. Right? Yes, I would tell you that communication is helpful in a relationship. I'm not going to tell you it's key. Because we can overanalyze the conversation. We can overanalyze the words. Words tend to ring in our head over and over weeks and weeks later. And if we sit down to communicate and share each other's feelings, well, what kind of feelings do you think you're going to get from us if we've been hurt? Right. You're not going to get kindness, I promise you that. You're not going to hear anything that's coming out nicely. And then if the other person responds, then they just agree, you're right, I'm a piece of shit. You're right, I'm a terrible person. That's still about them, which for some reason, you figure why I don't feel good just because they tell me they feel like shit. And because, again, that's about them. I feel like shit. That's about you. I'm going through shit. That's about you. I'm sorry I hurt you that long. That's still about you. Perhaps I can't imagine what it must feel like. I'm here in a hug. So we feel we need communication. We think we need communication because every book you've probably ever read about relationships and every post and thing you've ever saw, or every one of those inspirational videos someone's done about relationships has told you, communication is key in relationships. You have to be willing to communicate your feelings. Well, if we communicate every feeling you have all the time, do you think your partner really wants to hear all of those feelings all the time? Do you really want to hear your partner's feelings all the time? Or do we want to talk about that so that person can hear our feelings all the time? And then the more words we use, the more walls get built. It's hard to take back words once we start to say them, once a heated conversation begins. Because, one, if we've been hurt, but we've made the choice to stay in the relationship, well, that becomes on us. That becomes something we have to honor. I mean, do we forgive and then say, well, I forgive, but I don't forget, right? Do we start using other vague words like that? Do we start walking around in more vague terminology or tell them, oh, yeah, we're staying, but, or you have to be an open book. I'm staying, but you're going to pay for this a while. So then do we then hurt and whip back the person to put them in pain for as long as we feel in pain? Then eventually, if we don't feel the pain anymore, then we will stop, well, abusing the person we're with because we feel even. Is it love if we feel we need to get even? I'd probably think not. So with all the talk about communication, this is another one of those terms that's easy to say, sounds good, but doesn't quite mean anything because it's so vague. I mean, just look when I was talking about what makes the perfect relationship, right? We can't answer that, right? So, I mean, if so, there wouldn't be 6,421 books on relationships. There'd be like two, like four maybe, right? That's all there would be if there was really some special trick to do so. So the fact is we can't narrow down the things that make a perfect relationship, right? Or the best, or how to be in the right relationship, right? Sure, we have the obvious, don't get me wrong, you know, the abuse, physical abuse, the cheating, the ignoring, right? There's so many different levels of abuse, by the way. So, I mean, abuse is not just choking, punching, pushing, and bad name calling. There is emotional hijacking, financial hijacking, ignoring the other person. Right, there's so many different ways of abuse that we don't necessarily see because, what again, all we see is what we believe abuse to directly be, right? Some physical, some emotional, some verbal, right? And we forget about other forms of abuse that weigh on people. So we can't determine what is or what makes a perfect relationship, like I said, bar none the given, right? Let's cut out the given things that are aka deal breakers, if you will. And for a lot of people, they're not deal breakers either. They may say they're deal breakers, but you be with somebody for 20, 25 years, have three kids with them, get cheated on, and then tell me that getting cheated on is a deal breaker. A lot of times, when you're that deep in it, the family means more than that physical interaction that someone had with someone else. But then we stay with it sometimes, right? We can't quite get over it. The relationship's never the same. It's another 10 years, and we figure, well, I'm old already. I might as well stay here. We'll talk through it. That's another thing. See, it's communication and saying, don't ever go to bed angry. See, all these loop in the same idea. Don't ever go to bed angry. Talk it out. I've heard that too, and I was asking all those couples that were married for so long, well, don't go to bed angry. These cliche things that don't mean anything. I would urge you to go to fucking bed angry. You don't need to talk about it. Because talking about it many times is just a way that we sneak in how I can emotionally abuse you or verbally abuse you back because I feel like crap. And then when we verbally abuse the person, then it hurts us. And then we get even more hurt because that person has not responded how we expect them to or how we think we would if it was switched around, right? More words. More words and more words and more words and more talking and more walls. This is what begins to happen. Now, I'm not telling you not to communicate at all. I mean, if you're in a relationship and you have been for a while, you're already communicating. I would urge you a lot of times to talk about other things than yourselves. I would urge you to talk about other things than your kids. Talk about other things rather than your jobs, rather than the bills. Lay under the stars at night and talk about what stars you think they are. Give them names. Find other things to talk about than the routine and the mundane. Because then if something does happen, you don't have much really connected on other than some roommate shit. And some, well, we're getting through this together. That's another phrase I can't stand, right? As we're getting through this together. That automatically puts a negative connotation on what you're doing. We're getting through this. Man, being with somebody is a happy thing. It's work, right? It's work. That's the other thing. Oh, in relationship, marriage, it's work. It's sacrifice. Is it? Is it? Because I would urge to tell you that the family is only as happy as its unhappiest member. And if one of the members is, well, completely sacrificing, how happy is that person? Not very happy. And that is going to be the weakest link in the chain of the family, right? Same in the relationship. If the other person or yourself is not taking care of yourself in a relationship, and you keep sacrificing yourself for them, what you enjoy, what you like to do, watching sports, going shopping, whatever it is, if you start to do that, you will slowly lose yourself and wonder why you're not the same person a couple years or weeks or whatever later in the relationship. This is how we begin to fall apart. Self-sacrifice in a relationship, well, for me, is, well, communicating. Right? I need this and I need that and I need this and I need that. Well, a lot of times people don't really communicate directly what they want to say. See, we're unpacking communication more. What is it you're really trying to say, right? We may not want to say directly, I want to go eat here. Right? I'll use the classic, the easy one. Where do you want to eat? I don't know. You pick. Where do you want to eat? I don't know. It's up to you. You pick. Right? I've seen a restaurant actually called I Don't Know. Wonder how many times he's been divorced. Or she, right? So that communication, are we really, and this is where you got to take a humble approach at yourself. You got to take a humble look at yourself and say, hey, am I really communicating exactly what I want? Directly what I mean? And a lot of times we can have good intentions, right? But good intentions pave the road to hell, something like that. So we may have good intentions that we don't want to seem pushy. We don't want to seem like it's our way all the time, right? Or they may not want to. And so they try to find a different way. So, you know, I'll use the easy basic example again. They ask you, where do you want to eat? You don't want to seem pushy. It was about you the other night. So you just say, I don't know. It's where would you want to eat? Right? And then, when inside you were like, man, I really want some barbecue tonight. But you didn't say that, right? So then you don't say it, then you communicate, use some more words, you go back and forth, your words, and what? You end up getting some shit food at McDonald's you didn't want to eat anyway. Just an example of over-communicating, but also not directly communicating. Directly communicating, it takes being able to take a hard look at yourself to be able to really say, man, is that really what I wanted to say? Or did I try to cushion the blow? Did I try to think ahead? Did I assume what they would say or respond to what I was about to say, so I changed what I was going to say? You see, it turns into a fucking chess game. See, direct communication is literally saying, I want barbecue in your head. I want barbecue. Maybe you don't even wait. Maybe you're waiting around to see, I wonder if he'll ask me or she'll ask me tonight where I want to eat. It's always about where they want to eat. And well, then you get asked, and rather than saying, I want barbecue, we go, well, where do you want to eat? And then in 10 minutes, you'll complain that you never get to eat where you want to eat. You see? So communication is key. Okay. At what level? At what level? See, there's levels to this shit. Does this mean we need to sit down and talk about the last 8 years of our relationship and unpack every single little thing that's transpired and gone on and every single emotion and feeling that you have, and your partner must not love you if they're not asking you for every one of your thoughts, feelings, and emotions? No, that's not true. Perhaps you may, well, use the another thing. I almost had a name of it, right? Use the spectrum thing that I like to talk about, right? Whoever you're with or whatever relationship you're in, right? Use the spectrum. Let's say you have somebody that, doesn't do anything for you, right? Let's say anything. That's irrational, right? I'm awfulizing, right? Let's say maybe they talk too much. Let's just say that. And in your mind, they talk too much. They want to talk about feelings all the time. They want to sit down, and I'm sure you'll be playing on this podcast to justify yourself. Again, it'll be about yourself, right? But I want you to think about the spectrum. Each time you're with somebody and they do something that just fucking annoys you, I want you to think about the other end of the spectrum. What if they didn't say a word? I can hear some men and women out there going, that'd be awesome. Right? I suggest you're with the wrong person. Right? But if they didn't say anything, they didn't talk to you about their day, what they liked, or anything. Maybe you asked them where they wanted to eat and they just shrugged their shoulders, right? Maybe you're having sex with them and they don't make a sound. That's just creepy. No offense if that's your thing. But think about the spectrums, right? Before we start bitching and complaining about the person we're with, let's think about the other spectrum. Well, I could have a person that, well, shit, didn't do anything. I could have a person that, well, did all of that instead. Gives you perspective for a moment, right? Being able to find the spectrum of perspective. Try to say that five times fast. Spectrum of perspective. Spectrum of yeah, I'm out. So the spectrum look is a good way to do it. And look, a lot of times we have good intentions about what we tried. Before I get into the intentions part, I want to go back to the chess game where we are assuming we know what the other person will say or how they'll respond if we say it one way. So we don't communicate exactly what our thoughts were. We kind of twist those thoughts up a little bit, either to cushion them or to hide something else. And then we say something else. The person doesn't respond well to that one. And, well, they keep losing and striking out because you already assumed they would respond poorly at the first thing you were going to say. So you twisted your own thought. Now you're pissed off that you didn't say exactly how you wanted to say it. And you were trying to cush it with them. Well, because I had good intentions. Good intentions, right? Pave the road to hell. So it's rare, right, in a relationship where, well, at least a good one, where people intentionally try to hurt you. So if you can also remember when you're in a relationship and you're going, look, whatever they said, that just hurt me. And look, if they're intentionally pulling out things to say, you know, I'm going to say things to intentionally hurt you, and this is a continuous pattern, well, that's pretty malice. And that's vindictive, man. That's rough, right? You got to watch that. Definitely watch that. But we all fuck up, right? We all say something mean once in a while. We slip up, right? Got to have a couple of those, right? I think we do that. But the over-communication can become a problem. The over-talking can become a problem. And I'm not talking about life, or especially the things outside of the mundane or the day-to-day. I'm talking about the relationship. Over-communicating about the hurt and the pain. I mean, if we chose to stay and overlook it, isn't part of that on us? We have to learn to let go. If that's a choice we make, is to stay with somebody that has done something to harm us or hurt us, are we staying because it's convenient? Are we staying because, well, I got to stay for the kids? Because I promise you this, the worst thing you can do in a relationship is stay for the kids. It's not good. Because one, you're teaching your kids, no matter how somebody treats you, well, sacrifice yourself for that person. Because trust me, I promise you, your kids learn way more from your behavior than what you're saying to them. They're watching you. I know it's creepy. But they are watching you more than they are listening to you, I promise. And that watching you, well, we're teaching them how to act. What is a good father? What is a good mother? What makes a good relationship? What is loving? They are watching you more than they are listening to you. And would you give that advice to your own kids? I love to pull out the Leoism, right? When in doubt, do what you would advise. And I would add to that, when in doubt, do what you would advise to your kids. So if you're in that relationship, right, you get hurt, what would you advise your kid to do? So if we choose to stay, that's our own responsibility that we have to hold on to, that we have to say, hey, I chose to stay in this relationship despite this person hurting me. And that's when it begins to take two to heal that, right? There's always two in a relationship, right? No matter what. I love when couples start to pull out, well, I'm 30% wrong. I'm 50%. It's two. It's 50-50, okay? Even if the other person did the hurting, it's now up to you of how you respond to that hurt. It's up to you if you stay or if you go. Because if we stay, that's on us too. So if we choose to stay and say, hey, I'm going to stay and abuse you back now for a while, however we choose to do that, well, then we're just as guilty. And then what we've taught our kids is it's okay to sacrifice your own integrity, stay with somebody that may hurt you as long as they, well, take you hurting them back over time, and then hopefully it all goes away. And time heals all wounds? I tend to think forgiveness is a little overrated, to be honest with you. People tell us, that's another thing the influencers tell us, is we have to learn to forgive. Do we? I don't know. I don't necessarily think we do. I think a lot of times hurt can hold on, can build our narrative, and a lot of times anger and hurt can be motivating. It can move you, right? I would tell you, sometimes I'll be damned if I'm ever going to do that again, right? That's anger. We can use those things to keep moving. So, I love when I squirrel off like that. So, if you're with somebody that's, you know, hopefully not directly and meticulously being intentionally hurtful, well, then think to yourself that, look, I didn't think you set out to hurt me, right? If I thought you set out to hurt me, I fucking wouldn't be here, right? So, just because we can communicate to the other person, well, my intentions weren't to hurt you. Again, it's now about us. It's about you. If you're the one defending yourself saying, well, those weren't my intentions. You felt wrong. You thought wrong. I didn't do it like that. I didn't say it like that. This is when we're not communicating. You're using words, right? You're talking. Isn't that what you wanted? You're talking. You're communicating. You see, this is why communication is bad in relationships. Touch is better. Touch can say so much. This is what you wanted, right? My intent becomes about you. We're not honoring or justifying or giving validity to the person that was hurt's feelings by simply defending the fact that that's not my intentions. Oh, well, I'm glad it wasn't your intentions to hurt me. Jesus, if I thought you meant to hurt me like that, well, I'm with the wrong person. I'm with somebody that's just flat out vindictive. So thank you for clearing that up for me, right? You could say, well, thank you. I'm glad you didn't intentionally do it. But again, that becomes, if we're the person saying that, if we're going, hey, I didn't intend to hurt you. Well, we totally skipped over the person we love telling us, you just hurt me, right? We go right by it. We're not even paying attention to it. And we think we're communicating because we're listening to it. And if you've been hurt, and then if we're the ones that are hurt and we're communicating that, we have to ask, what do we really want to talk about? Or do we really just want to, well, hurt the person back for a while because it feels good? So dive deeper into things when people tell you that, well, communication is key to relationship. I would tell you that stop communicating in your relationships. Stop resting your morals or your laurels, excuse me. Stop resting your laurels on your intentions. Just because you had good intentions does not mean it can't hurt the person you love. And just because it wasn't your intent, we can't ignore that the person in front of you is telling you they are hurt. Look at that as a gift. I know it's hard, because if somebody tells you, hey, you hurt me, and inside your mind, you're like, I didn't intend to hurt you. Now you feel like you're being judged for being a bad girlfriend, bad boyfriend, bad husband, whatever, bad partner. That's immediately judged. We get defense back in, and we go, well, wait, how did I hurt you? I didn't. We tend to get angry at the response of someone being hurt because our intentions, well, they were good. And if our intentions were good, well, then it's hard to just listen. It's hard to shut the fuck up. It's hard to just hold their hand and say, I'm listening. I can't imagine what that may have felt like. Tell me more about your hurt. Because then we start casting stones of pain in the past. Things you can move by. I guess it's another podcast to me telling you, be wary of what the influencers, the mainstream, and the 8,642,000 trillion billion relationship books tell you how you're supposed to do it. And be kind to the other person, because most of us have not had a good model to model for us what makes a good relationship or how we're supposed to handle that. We just haven't. Again, I ask you, do you know a relationship where you would sit down and take relationship advice from them continuously? One, maybe? You may not even want to be like that relationship, even though they have a, quotes, good relationship, right? So most of us have not been modeled. And don't overread the books either. When you start overreading the books, all you're doing is getting a whole bunch of shit in your head that you think is pliable in your relationship, and you try to communicate all this stuff, and it's fucking overload. Instead of just being in love. It's okay to just be in love. And can we humble ourselves to say, am I really saying directly what I mean? Or am I playing the chess game of verbal communication? Am I playing the chess game? If I say this, you say this. You may find yourself in an argument going, I can't say that, because if I say this, you'll say this. And every time I say this, you say that. We go back and forth. But again, we're communicating, aren't we? You see how we get lost in the communication, that every time we sit down to talk, it winds up in a fight. That's why I'm telling you to stop communicating in your relationship. Stop over-communicating in relationships. Stop verbally diarrheaing all of your thoughts and all your feelings and then telling yourself you're a good communicator and anybody would be lucky to have you. Just because you talk does not mean you're communicating. Words build walls. Touch, hugs, understanding, validating the person's hurt. This is how we show we care. Talking about how much of a piece of shit you feel like, well, that's still about you, buddy. It's still about you. Well, I've done this, and I did this, and I'm sorry. I feel like shit every day. I cry every 10 minutes, so that's still about you. I can't imagine what it must feel like. I'm here. Reach, go for a hug. But again, if you're that person, and they're reaching for a hug, you're in the hurt, you're in the pain, but you've chosen to stay, but yet you push them away when they try to touch, and try to hug, and try to love, and you shove at them. They're trying to express the love. They're trying to validate you. Many times we just need validation. If we're the ones that if we've been hurt, simply validate it. I see that you were hurt and I see that I have hurt you. I can't imagine how that might feel. I'm sorry and shut the fuck up. Don't say that. I'm just telling you and shut the fuck up after that. But if we've been hurt, we also can't stand there and whip and smack and throw stones at the other person when we've decided to stay. Because then we become just as guilty. Well, are we going to get into the which is worse argument? Well, he did this and she did that, so they deserve a good verbal abuse for the next 6 months from me because I dealt with 6 days of cheating, or maybe they did or maybe they didn't, and we feel validated to then spew the same poison back onto them, and poison will only hurt you more. But yet we think we're growing the relationship. We think we're communicating in our relationship because we talk all the time. Talking all the time about what you think and feel does not mean you are communicating in a relationship. Trust me, I've been guilty. We think we're doing it right. Well, I'm communicating. Chapter 3 of Good Relationships book says, remember, the person that wrote that book is also a human being and in a relationship. And maybe it is, or maybe it isn't one that you would model, but we can weave words together to sound good, like,
communication is the key to a lasting relationship.
See, we can weave those words together and it sounds good. But when you really unpack them and really look at what it means, sometimes just being there, just listening if you have to, but touching, holding, and hugging. These are more words. More than words, I should say. Did you hear the Extreme song? More than words. I wish I could sing. But the touch and the hug, we forget about those things. Especially if we've been hurt, or if we've done the hurting, we don't feel like we're allowed. Wow, I haven't deserved that, right? A lot of people that are hurt by somebody they love, someone reaches out to hug you to say, I'm sorry, and they reach out to hug you, and you go, don't touch me. You don't deserve to touch me. Well, then leave. If you really mean that. Or are we just trying to give them the same hurt that we feel? And when hurt is passed around and shared and done tit for tat back and forth, well, that's just a slow demise to the end of a relationship. And it's okay to leave a relationship that you're not satisfied in, by the way, either. This is left field shit. But so many people may realize they don't want to be in a relationship or be with the person they're with, so they begin to analyze them for months or weeks, or they wait too long until they hate them. They may even grow to say, man, I got to get to a place where I hate you. And, well, many codependent people just are waiting around for that one guy at work to say hello and go on a date, and then they can monkey bar their way out of there. Right? That happens. So it's okay to leave. You don't have to wait till you hate somebody. You don't have to wait till you have evidence. You ever been with somebody and you've been in a relationship for a while and you're like, I really don't want to be here. You start searching for evidence as if you're going to be on People's Court or something, or you're going to be on Judge Judy and they're going to be like, hey, why are you leaving this individual? You don't have to. And I'd encourage you not to. Don't wait until you have some sort of mountain of evidence. Don't wait until you've analyzed them for fucking ever or for a week, or you've beat them down verbally, because now you're kind of the asshole. Now, when they leave or you leave them, you're kind of like, fuck, I was kind of an asshole for those couple weeks until I left. I feel just as bad. You can leave with your integrity. You don't have to wait to hate them. And I promise you, if you think hating them is going to make leaving easier, it will not. It will not. Because then you'll leave and then the honeymoon stuff starts to remember. Wow, I miss them at night, or I miss them when she used to or he used to and whatever, and they used to and they said and used to. And that pain slowly drifts away and you'll cry at night and it'll hurt. But you don't have to become the asshole too to leave. It's okay to leave. And you don't have to talk about it either. That's the other thing they'll tell you. Well, did he even talk about it? Did she even communicate? No, she didn't say nothing. We owe it to somebody. A lot of people may think, well, I owe it to them to stay with them, as if we're some gift, right? I owe it to them because they did so much for me. This person's done so much for me. I just can't leave them like that. Again, that's about you. But it is okay to take care of you. It's okay to take care of you, because at the end of this, when you're laying there, however it is you leave this planet, that's just going to be you. As far as I know, nobody's going to lay down next to you and Romeo and Juliet their way out of this bitch with you. Hopefully not, right? It's your life to lead. It's also your choice to touch, to allow the touching, and stop communicating. Just quit it. Because what you'll hear with maybe couples that have been going through something for a long time, maybe they're in therapy, right? You'll hear them, they'll say, well, it always comes to this every time we try to talk about it. What the fuck do you think is going to happen? Every time we try to talk about it, it ends up in a fight, even though they're the one that did the hurting. Okay, but maybe it's been 6 months. Maybe it's been 6 years. You decided to stay and you've been whipping their ass verbally and emotionally, holding back sex from them, whatever it is you've been doing for the last 6 years. Well, yeah, but I never cheated. I never cheated. There's levels, right? Now we're trying to differentiate between what pain is worse and who's worse. That's a fucking place you don't want to be in. So people sit down and say, it always comes to a fight like this. Well, let's look at the topic. We're talking about pain that someone caused you, and now we're talking about God knows how much pain you've caused them back, even though you choose to stay. We're talking about two whipped and beat ass up dogs that don't want to be near each other, and you say every time we try to talk about it, every time we try to communicate, it winds up bad. I wonder why that is. Because generally off the rip, the first time the first person did the hurting to them, they didn't validate the other person. They more tried to validate it that they were still a good person. Oh, he didn't mean anything to me. She didn't mean anything. I only kissed him. Right? We try to then prove ourselves to still be okay when we're not validating our partner's hurt. We're simply talking about our own hurt that we've caused ourselves. I'm crying every day. I'm in pain every day. I'm such a terrible person. I'm such an idiot. I should have seen it. I should have done this. And da 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 da. This is still about you. The person is trying to hear, I can't imagine what that must feel like. I'm here. In touch. Words build walls. Words build walls. A hug, a kiss, a snuggle, sometimes even a look, a kind one. These things can mean so much more. A behavior, doing something out of the ordinary. These things mean more than words. I'm not saying that words don't have meaning. I'm not telling you not to talk to your partner at all. But just know, just because you're talking, it doesn't mean you're communicating. And communication is such a vast galaxy that just saying we need to communicate is almost saying nothing. And if you're over-communicating, that's another one, we're over-communicating, we're talking about our feelings, and we wonder why this is the only topic still in our relationship. Stop communicating in relationships. Start touching. Start loving. Start hugging. And be humble enough to question whether you really are communicating exactly what you need, what you want, what hurt, and what you need. Because a lot of times, if we get hurt, ask yourself, if you're the one that's been hurt, what do I need? What do I need? What do you need from the person? See, a lot of times we're so busy being hurt about what this person did to us, we don't even know what we need. But we stay because we think we should, or because we have financial ties, or we have kids. Maybe they did something nice for you for a while. Maybe they're the only one that was there for you. And so we stay. But are we really communicating what we need? If you're the one that's hurt, are you really saying what you need other than, I want you to bleed too? And sometimes if you're really communicating directly what it is, you may find yourself say that and go, shit, in 6 weeks I'll be just as big as asshole as they are. What do you need? If you're the one that's been hurt, what do you need? Do you need them to bleed too? Do you need them to feel what it feels like so y'all go cheat on them and then you lose your integrity? That's just going to hurt you. Do you wish you could beat them up? Do you wish you could say the mean words to them they say to you? Would that feel better? Maybe for a second. But if you got any kind of character, that's going to hurt your integrity later. You're going to be mad at yourself for stooping to that level anyway that hurts you so badly. So what is it do you need? What do you actually want from the person that hurt you? Do you think they can make the hurt go away? Is it up to them? Because remember, if we decide to stay, that's on us. That's on us. You got to let that go. You can't bring that up. Be like, hey, yeah, but you did this. You should have left back then. Now, obviously, you're not over that. You didn't forgive somebody over it. I know it's hard, especially if you're the one. You're probably fucking cursing me out right now. You're probably listening to this and going, you just don't know how. Yeah, fuck him. Right? You just don't. Fuck this guy. You don't even know. He hurt me so badly. Were you there? You still there? Then if you're still there, what do you need? I'm not telling you what would make it go away. I'm not telling you what would make the relationship perfect again. I'm not saying that. I'm not telling you what would make the hurt go away. I'm saying, what do you need? And many times, if we've been hurt, we just don't know what we need. And you may realize, well, we just want the blood too. We want them to bleed the same. We want them to feel the pain. This is why it's risky to stay in or stay with someone that has crossed your line. If they've crossed your line and performed or done a deal breaker to you and you stay with them, it becomes so difficult because now it's your own integrity on the line. It's the hurt that's there, but yet you're supposed to forgive somebody, but it still hurts inside. You're going to end up abusing them somehow the same way over time, then feel bad about yourself, and then slowly the relationship just dies anyway. And if you're one of those people that say, I am a great communicator, I do all the communication. No, you cannot be a great communicator in a relationship, or you cannot communicate well in a relationship. You can't. Why? Because communication in a relationship takes two people. So great communication in a relationship means both of you communicate. Doesn't mean that you're the superhero communicator. More than likely, you're probably one that overtalks, that thinks you're communicating, and well, you're building walls with those words. It's okay to shut the fuck up. It's okay not to have to, let's talk about it. We should talk about this. Should you? Should you? Should you really? Should you sit down and talk about how painful it was to you? Yeah, I think you do. I think you got to talk about it. But not tomorrow, the next day, next week, next month, next year. No. You can't keep communicating like that. You can't. Because you just sit down and you keep dredging up what hurt and you wonder why every time we try to talk about it, he just gets so pissed off at me. Well, yeah, you fucking cheated on him. Well, yeah, right, we say these things. Well, of course, what we're talking about, it's not taken away from any of the pain. But be careful over-communicating. Be careful communicating at all. Be wise with the words you choose. Because why? Words build walls. Touch can bring down walls. Hugs, validating the other person's pain, this can bring down walls. This can reunite. Now I'm saying you have to forgive anybody either, all right? And be careful justifying your own intentions. I mean, if we sit down and we want to talk about it and we talk about our intentions and now we're analyzing what they say and then we're upset that we tried to be kind but they took it as being mad and are saying something mean, and we say, I can't win.
I can't win.
Right. I can't win in this thing. Every time I say it, everything, those determinate words that I write about in my book start to come out. Every time. Always. Right. These are irrational. They're not doing it every time. So watch the communication. And that's why I started and labeled this podcast to stop communicating in your relationship. I'm reading it now. Wait, what? I did it like you were talking, right? Stop communicating my relationship? Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Start hugging. Start touching. Start loving. Validating the other person's right to be hurt. And stop trying to make excuses for what your intentions were and why they shouldn't be hurt. You see, we tend to do that, right? We go, look, they tell you, somebody else, hey, that really hurt me when you did that. Oh, well, you shouldn't be hurt. I don't know what's wrong with you. Those weren't my intentions. Hey, hello. Hello, McFly. Hello. The person in front of you just gave you and showed you their cards. They just told you, hey, I'm hurt here. And you just said, what? I wouldn't be hurt by that. My intentions weren't to hurt you. I didn't do anything like that. You're emotional. You're too sensitive, we say. They just gave you the keys to the city, bruh. When your other half gives you the keys to the city by saying, hey, that just hurt me. Hey, man, that's gold. You better say, oh, whoa. They just told me it hurt them. Okay. All right, I didn't mean to hurt you. Well, fuck that. It did. When you say I didn't mean to hurt you, does that make their hurt go away? No, what they're looking for is to go, oh, my, you're hurt. Someone I love, I just hurt. Be that accidental or on purpose. They just told you. They just said that. They just say, hey, I'm hurt. And you may just go, I didn't mean to. You shouldn't be hurt. You're sensitive, right? How is that validating? Imagine if you're the one saying that. Imagine if you're the one sitting there going, hey, I'm hurt. And they go, I don't fucking know why. I don't know why you're hurt. I didn't do anything. Prove it. How did you get hurt? Here's where the communication comes in, right? Okay, well, how did you get hurt? What they're really saying is, right, prove it to me. Well, I'm fucking hurt right now, okay? Right now, I feel hurt. Prove it. Well, now you're like, you know what? No, I don't. It's gold, man. It's gold when your other half tells you how they were hurt. Can't broke what you don't know is fix. You can't fix what you don't know is broken. I'm saying it backwards. You can't fix what you don't know is broken, right? So when they're communicating with you what's broken, that gives you a chance to fix it, not to validate your own intention. It's to validate, oh man, you're hurt. I can see that. And telling them how bad you feel about it is not validating their hurt. That's self-absorbed. That's what that is. And it doesn't mean you have to stick around for the next 6 years getting verbally and emotionally toyed with and maybe physically toyed with or cheated on. You can say you're even. Goes both ways. But if we've been hurt and we make the choice to stay anyway, that's on us. And are we really communicating? If we've been hurt, have you really looked at them and looked at yourself and said, this is what I need? Because whatever you may say, you may hear it and go, oh, wow. What do you need? What do you need from them? You may realize you just don't want to be alone. You may realize you're just afraid to leave. Because that becomes too scary for people to visit. You can't visit that shit. That can't be real. I'm codependent. No, I'm not that. That's not what people say, right? They go, I'm not codependent. I like to be in a relationship, right? So someone hurts you in a relationship. What do you want? What do you need? If you stay, that's on you, and you have to let that go to rebuild. But if you are staying, what is it you need if you keep saying, we need to talk about this? I'm telling you, you don't. Talk about it once. Here it comes out. See if the person validates your feelings. You may get your answer right there. If they're not validating your right to feel how you feel, what I love to say is no one can take away how you feel, nor do you have to prove it. If you feel bad, if you feel hurt, and they go, well, how'd I hurt you? I don't have to justify it. Asshole, listen to me. I'm telling you I'm hurt. I'm not telling you I'm hurt so you can ask me to prove it. I'm giving you the cards here. I'm giving you the key to the feelings. You're not paying any attention. Maybe they go, I can see that you're very hurt. I'm sorry you feel this way. Can I hug you? See, ask that. A lot of times you just reach out for a hug, trying to make it. You get pushed away. Now there's rejection. Now there's no community. But we're talking about it, right? We're talking about it. Are you really? Are you really communicating those things? And are you playing, or are you playing the chess game of communication? Are you assuming you'll know what the person will do because they've done it in the past? So you assume they'll respond this way to these words, even though that's exactly what you want to say. So you twist your own words. You end up saying not really directly what you wanted to say. So you're mad at yourself for not doing it. You're mad at them for having to do it. Then you say it. They respond differently or exactly how you thought they would respond. And you go, see, there it is. Well, how did you know they would respond that way if you changed how you responded? You see, this becomes a chess game. When you start making decisions or communicating based on how you think they'll move, well, then you're not really communicating. You're not saying directly what you feel. And man, if somebody that you're with is telling you how they feel, especially, hey, I'm hurt by this, that's gold, man. Now, if it's every day, you hurt me here, you hurt me here, you hurt me here, you hurt me here. Well, fuck. In 2 weeks, you're going to be like, aren't I a piece of shit? And they're not going to want to be with you anyway, but they may stay because they're codependent too, and nobody's ever modeled for them or told them that they're good, right? That they're okay. So thank God this person's with me. That was the other answer I'd hear from those relationships that I'd ask, right? They'd say like, well, she deals with my shit. Yeah, yeah. She deals with my shit. That's why I'm with, really? How much self-love do you have? My God. The key to a 25-year marriage, sir, as you just told me, was she deals with your shit? Wow. How bad do you hate yourself? And one, what are you talking about with them? How dumb are they? What kind of person are they able to get or keep in their lives if they deal with your shit? You're demoting yourself and disrespecting your partner at the same time just for saying she deals with my shit. And punching you both in the throat. See, this is things that many, many, many relationships say that sound good. They don't make any fucking sense. Happy wife, happy life. She deals with my shit. Communication is key. Top three answers you'll probably hear. Bullshit. All of it. It's bullshit. Happy wife, happy life. You never hear happy hubby, happy life, right? Right? It seems to be a one-way street, doesn't it? Self-sacrifice. That's the other one, right? Well, a good marriage is about sacrifice. It's about compromise. Wait, so you're both are mediocrely happy for 40 fucking years? That's what I've always wanted. I've always wanted to be with somebody that I had to compromise everything I do for the next 40 years of my life so I can say I was halfway fulfilled for most of it so I could at least have the presence of them. No, it's not about sacrifice. Again, I'm recapping that. If it's about sacrifice, I tell you again, the relationship is only as happy as the unhappiest individual. So if you're sacrificing all the time, well, it's even because they're sacrificing and you're sacrificing. It's about balance. You balance the sacrificing. What are we, a fucking Aztec? Rolling kids' heads down the thing? We got to sacrifice half of ourself, and that's okay if they're sacrificing half of their life and half of their self. Then we meet in the middle, both mediocrely, medium happy for most of our lives, saying, thank God she dealt with my shit, and thank God that I have sacrificed half of everything that makes me happy so we could be happy together. This makes no fucking sense. No sense. I tell you, look for somebody that tells you to be more of you, not less of you. If you're starting a relationship or you're in one and this person in your relationship doesn't bring any bubbles into your life, I'll give you a little visual, if you will, even though, people are watching visually. But if you're listening to this podcast, which you'll post probably next week or something like that, give you a visual, right? Imagine two bubbles, right? You got one bubble over here, one bubble over here. I'm drawing them about a foot apart from each other. One bubble is you, one bubble is them. And let's put some bubbles around that, each bubble, right? They got family, they got jobs, they got hobbies, they got things, right? And they got family, jobs, you know, things, right? Everybody's got some bubbles they bring in. They got drama, too. Everybody's got some shit family, right? Draw those bubbles around. And when those two bubbles combine to make a relationship, is one of those people, or one of you, or is it you or them, are they popping bubbles in your life? Are they telling you, don't hang out with him, he drinks too much? Oh, don't hang out with that girl, man. She's a hoe. I know what happens, right? We start popping bubbles in the other person's life, and then you wonder why 5 years later, I just don't feel like I have a life. It's about combining those bubbles. People should add bubbles to your life. When you're with somebody and they start popping your bubbles, you can't go there anymore. You shouldn't talk to them anymore. You shouldn't wear that anymore. When they start doing that, they're popping your bubbles. I need you to quit your job and I'll take care of you. Good luck with that one. If you're in a relationship for money, you earn every fucking penny. Okay? Okay. So when those two bubbles combine, they should add bubbles to each other's lives. Share each other's hobbies, if you will, right? But it should not be popping each other's bubbles or bursting each other's bubbles, right? I knew you were thinking it. I said it, and you thought it, and then I said it, right? That's what just happened. So that's kind of a key when you're walking into a relationship. They start cutting your life out, and be careful you don't pop the bubbles yourself. Be careful you don't just pigeonhole yourself and ostrich your head into the sand and forget about your friends, forget about your jobs, forget about your family, forget about your hobbies, forget about taking care of yourself, forget about doing the things you love to do. You may be bursting your own fucking bubbles and wonder why in a year or two this person goes, I don't really like you much anymore because, well, you don't do any of the things you used to do. Because you may not be you. Because maybe you've sacrificed those things because you were taught that that makes a good relationship. And you really ruined your own relationship by following the relationships are about sacrifice. That's four fucking bullshit things in relationships I've ripped down. Happy wife, happy life. Bullshit. Communication is key. Really vague with that one. And too much over-talking what sounds good to say. Let's talk about this. Well, we've covered this on the podcast, right? Relationships are about sacrifice. That's fucking third one we've knocked down. It's about balance. Yeah, that's about balance. Yeah, come on. Get out of here. It's much easier to talk about, probably, I think, than much easier to talk about what doesn't make a good relationship, probably, than it is to talk about what makes a good relationship. But yet there's 8,671 books on what makes a good relationship, right? I'd love to find authors of all of those books that wrote over the years about what is a relationship, five keys to a good relationship, and just see what kind of relationships they're in. I really would. You know? I would. It's tricky out there, man. It's tricky out there. The struggle's real in trying to find love, maintain love, and grow a relationship, right? Struggle's real. There's no one way to do it, right? There's certainly a lot of wrong ways to do it. And a lot of times, these wrong ways and tools that we implement are things that, well, we thought we've learned make a good relationship. We've thought, because this book said so, and it said that we're supposed to communicate in relationships. Does communication to you simply just mean talking? Right? Words build walls, y'all. Do some more touching. Do some more hugging. Kind of covered the gamut on this one, huh? Went off. Been a while since I did a podcast. Already an hour and 6 minutes. My gosh. I went into it, y'all. I love y'all very much. Hope your lives are going good. I really do. If you're not in the Tribe of Change, ask to be in the Tribe of Change now. I've done some serious house cleaning in the Tribe of Change. So, yeah, the Tribe of Change is back to its original format, which is being supportive and helpful. It's not about measuring cerebral sizes anymore. It's not about confronting people and walking down a bunch of topics to show that, no, my cerebral is bigger than yours. No, my cerebral is bigger than yours. I got rid of a lot of that shit. The Tribe of Change is about changing ourselves and having a community that helps us do that change by supporting one another, by loving one another. And if yourself or somebody you know, or even if you're a couple, Patricia and I share the shit out of our lives on the Tribe of Change. So if you're in a couple or just yourself, or maybe you have a friend that's just hurting or in a bad place, look, connection is connection. Sure, social media may not be talking, right? Texting may not be talking or anything like that. It may not be the same thing as face-to-face talking, I should say, or the same as hugging. But for some people that are feeling like they're at the bottom of the barrel, I'm game for anything, whether that's social media talking or however you choose to talk to somebody. So if somebody you know is going through it, or if you're going through it, you're looking for that support, I promise you there's some amazing, loving people in the Tribe of Change here on Facebook. It's a closed group, and we keep it in the tribe, as we like to say. It's like Vegas, right? Whatever happens in the tribe stays in the tribe. And it's a great place to share yourself, share what you're going through, see that you're not alone. And I promise, there's a lot of amazing people in the Tribe of Change that are compassionate and that will validate the hurt that you're experiencing. And maybe give you some good advice too. They may or may not. A lot of times they just give you a data girls and data boys and give you a hug and show you some love. A lot of time they do that. A lot of times if you share your story on the Tribe of Change, like I ask people to do, you'll find some strength in that. You'll find some connection in that. And before you know it, somebody will pop up and go, Hey, that person inspired me. Because like I said in the beginning, we're all inspirers. Nobody is privy to that title. We're all inspirers. And until you try, you may not know. Until you share, well, then no one knows. And until you find somebody that'll support you, that'll love you, that'll you know, support you in what you do, you know, the Tribe of Change is a great place to do that. And I love everybody in the tribe that's in there. I mean it when I tell you I love y'all. It's been a long road, right? It's been almost 5 years with the podcast. I think this is episode 208. 208 episodes I've been running my mouth, right? Maybe I'm not communicating properly. Maybe I'm just talking too much, yeah? But I'm about a chapter or two in on creating the audiobook, the Cognitive Rampage audiobook, finally. It's a pain in the ass. I'm telling you, it's a pain in the ass. It's like trying to read out loud, but then hearing yourself as you read, then you make a mistake and you have to clip it up. I got a good friend that's going to edit it for me. So I'm really trying to have the audiobook of the Cognitive Rampage out before the end of the year, probably around Christmas or something, is where I'd like to try to launch it. I got a ton of things that I'm doing on my plate, a ton of fun things that I'm doing on my plate. I really enjoy it. And I'm really looking also to getting the Fight Life podcast going. I've kind of switched an angle of that podcast and look forward to interviewing some pro fighters. I think what I'm going to be doing on the Fight Life is looking for those that are really living the fight life I'm talking about. Is I'm going to talk to fighters that have to have a job and they fight before the big money, before the UFC, and try to really show people what the fight life is really like. And so what I'm trying to do is find fighters that are, you know, top 10s, top 20s, you know, in different states, Florida, Georgia, stuff like that, not UFC fighters, and kind of really reveal the fight life in that aspect of it and what they really go through. You know, doing a lot of things, man. You may see it on the page too. I'm the new business development marketing manager, or director, if you will. That's a fancy name, director, for the new Smyrna Speedway. It's cool. Living over here at the beach, made a new cool race family. It's really fun, too. If you ever feel like coming out there, hit me up. I'll let you know. I'll take care of you. Come out and enjoy it. But it's fun. I enjoy doing that, doing a lot of things on the side. Between trying to get the other book really going instead of just being chicken scratch everywhere, but trying to get that done, I also have started stand-up comedy, believe that shit or not. So I got the first stand-up show I'm looking to do in about 45 days here in New Smyrna Beach. It'll be at Off the Hook. It'll be Off the Hook restaurant here in New Smyrna. So if you're an open micer, if you're a stand-up guy or girl or other, whatever that is, if you're any of those things and you feel like doing stand-up or trying it, it's an open mic. So it's going to be an open mic that I'm starting. So looking forward to getting booed and bombing on stage. Frankly, I'm terrified. I got to be honest with you. I'm terrified. I messed around not too long ago. Fucking 4 or 5 years ago. And did some stand-up at a little coffee shop thing. And didn't go over so well. Got maybe 2.5 out of 15,000 stars. And so I get a little nervous, man, and I can sit here and talk on a podcast forever. Throw me live in any second, and I'll do it, no problem. Throw me in front of 1,500 kids, and I'll talk to them. I ain't got no problem. I'll do a $10 million pitch. I'm not worried about any of that. But I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous, man, really starting the open mic or for real and really diving into it and seeing what funny shit your boy can say, man. But, right, what do I always say, right? Uncomfortable is where the change is. Chase some interests. Get a little experience in it. And, hey, get booed off stage and feel better about yourself when you come home, right? A lot going on. So a lot of those videos you see me doing, the mental dose that I'm doing, a new podcast is going to come of those. You'll be able to get those on iTunes as well. But a lot of what I'm sharing there, as I have on the Cognitive Rampage for 5 fucking years, something like that, as I've done, I'm transparent about my own life. I can tell you that this one here about the relationships is not about my own life. I was inspired by a podcast that I listened to and kind of this new cool therapy that they're trying. Therapists are having to try everything right now to get business. But she's a really great therapist. It was on NPR. It's a great podcast. And she doesn't do couples therapy except for one. She has one session that lasts for 2 to 3 hours, something like that. And they take tools home with them and the objective there. And I like what she does. She just doesn't do therapy with you, like, and listens and tell me how that make you feel. You know, she cuts off, she interrupts and speaks for the other person, which is really cool. Something I used to do as a therapist when I was one. I didn't do it technically orthodox. So cool stuff. Yeah. So a lot of what I'm talking about on those Mental Dose podcasts or shows or videos, wherever you're picking them up, whether you get them on YouTube, we're on YouTube, we're on Podbean, we're on Stitcher if you have an Android, and obviously Apple on iTunes. Or if you're just a friend of me on Facebook, where, again, my page is private, but I share those videos there because it's what I'm thinking about. It's what I'm pushing myself to go through, or what I'm thinking about. I'm very transparent. Don't ever think that I'm speaking from some pulpit up here that I think I got it figured out, okay? Be wary of anybody that tells you they have this so complicated life figured out, please. Be very, 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 very wary of someone that's telling you if the world just did what I said, we'd be a better place. Yeah, there's been some bad things happen because we've listened to people like that. So be careful of that. Be careful of books that tell you that their way is the right way and all this other stuff. Be careful of how much of that stuff you fill up in your head and you download to being who you are. Be careful with that, though, yeah? Watch the communicating. Again, at the end of this podcast, I am over-communicating and simply just talking, believing it's communication. But I love y'all very much. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your... I was hoping you'd say it. Love you.